Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 40 here with the Beer and Chicken, man. And I am not alone. I'm here with the homeboys Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff, and the homeboy Walt Lockdown. Say what's up to the peoples, fam.
What's good?
Yo, Walt, you can't get your ears? You good? Oh, this nigga done muted his mic and everything. God damn.
Nah, we good. I had to get at my son real quick. What's
God
up, man?
Damn, man. Kids just don't know when to leave you alone.
Man, it is what it is. Now, what's up with you, though, man? What's up, everybody?
I'm good. But, yo, we've been having some technical difficulties like a motherfucker to start this show, man. Y'all can see, if y'all watching live, y'all can see it written all over this nigga Cliff face, man. This nigga is hot. I told him to go get him a drink, man. We supposed to be drinking anyway while we doing the show, but this nigga is hot. What's going on with you, man? You all right over there? You feeling a little better? You want to vent? Go ahead, vent, man. Tell him why you mad, son.
I'm good.
Yo, fuck that. Yo, the computer don't work, son. None of that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'm good, y'all. I'm good.
Shit, right now the homeboy Cliff computer just... His computer hating on him, y'all. His computer hating on him, man. It is not letting that nigga be great right now. It is not letting that nigga
be great. For talking all that shit the last episode we was on.
Man, what was that?
Say, it's been so long, man. When was that?
Shit, wasn't that when he was talking about the Patriots victory?
Oh, you think it's karma for the Patriots shit? He called it, hey, man. He said it, I didn't.
I mean, what that? I had to ground the talk. I had to ground.
I'm just saying. They say karma's a bitch, man. You know, bitch is patient, nigga. Shit, she been waiting to get your ass back from all that shit you was talking. That's all.
Yeah, man. But I won.
He did win.
You didn't win gracefully.
What? Listen, I gave you guys the benefit of the doubt to tell you the truth. I could have went real hard and I did.
Well, first of all, you wasn't doing me no favors, nigga, because I told you to go in. I'm like, if there was ever an opportunity for you to go in, that was your fucking opportunity, dog. Like, I told you that.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. No, okay. Walter's telling me I didn't win gracefully. I'm like, yo, I kind of laid it on real smooth. I didn't go hard.
All I'm saying is you ain't have to do it for me. That's all I'm saying, because I was ready for the shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I was ready for the shit. You know?
I low key thought he was gonna pull a Shannon Sharp and had come out with the costume on and everything
thought he was gonna have a black and mild in his Hennessy and shit. I'm on his mind. Yeah. So yeah, man, it's been a couple weeks since we've been on, man. I needed a break, like for real. Your man Span was podcasting quite a bit, so I needed a break. So we didn't do no show last week, but we're going to get right back into the groove, get right back into the thick of things. But before we do that, man, it's been a couple weeks. Yo, Walt, tell the people what you've been up to the last couple weeks, brother. They want to know.
Man, I've been fighting a damn cold, man. It seemed like this one won't go nowhere. Like, I don't understand.
You need to get you some emergency in your life. Emergency, man. That shit works.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
You put me on then. Okay.
That shit works, man. First sign of a cold, man, I started taking that shit, man.
I need something, man. This motherfucker is lingering. But other than that, man, I've been trying to get the crib together, man. Decorating the crib and all that, man. Other than that, you know, working hard. Same old, same old. Trying to get as much money as you and Cliff.
See, why you got to go there? I don't got no money, man. My
wallet. He said that. That was convincing, too. He was like, I ain't got no money, man. Like,
no, really. For those that can see my face right now that's watching the show.
My wallet has been like taxed the last couple weeks, man. Real talk. Let's see. My daughter's 16th birthday was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you got hit with the $400 hair.
Well, it wasn't exactly $400, but it was enough. It was enough. I got educated on the cost of women's hair. I got my wife a car.
Oh, what'd you get?
Jeep Compass. So
okay,
got a Compass.
All right.
Let's see. I got my daughter a phone. For her birthday, cell phone. She got a new iPhone. I don't know why she's addicted to that iPhone shit. I need a paternity test now. But
generation, baby. That younger generation.
But I did get something for myself, man. I did treat myself.
He got some new J's, Cliff.
No, I did. I got some new J's, but that wasn't the treat. I got them young Adapt BBs, son. I got them Adapt BBs, man. The motherfuckers like. You know, they tie themselves up. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yes, sir.
They tie themselves up.
I had to have them. You know what I'm saying? I had to have them. And I was, you know, it was one of those times where I was so great. I was so grateful that my wife was so supportive. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, they, like, come on, man. Like, $350 for some gym shoes, nigga, they better, like, rock your motherfucking socks off. And they kind of did for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I didn't say for a minute.
No. I'm going to tell you the reason why they didn't, like, you know, the app, man, the app was kind of janky. You know what I'm saying? Like, I found out that soon after I bought the shoes, right, that there was a problem with the Android app, that they were bricking shoes. And so, like, when you try to, like, connect the shoe to the app, for whatever reason, it was always coming back that the app was already connected to that shoe or whatnot. It wouldn't connect right. So I had to call Nike, had them tech support me my fucking shoes. Like, that was some crazy shit. Got to call them like, yo, you got to do a factory reset on the shoes. So I do the factory reset on the shoes to get them bitches to work.
Factory reset right. On the shoes.
Right. So I had to do the factory reset on the shoes in order to get them to work. So that kind of like took away some of the joy of like enjoying the shoe. You know, like, you know, you just kind of want the shit to come out and work, man. You just want them to work. That's all. And they weren't exactly working as soon as I got them out the box. Once I got them like together, it was cool, man. It was cool. I'd just be glad when I can actually rock them sometime this spring or whatever. So that's what I've been up to. What about you, Cliff? What you been up to, man?
He's shaking his head in disgust.
I don't know why he's shaking his head, man.
I'm not in disgust. No, Spawn out here flogging like he ain't sitting on racks.
I'm not.
But every time, whatever.
I'm not.
But so I know I told y'all, but when it was like negative 50, we had a power surge. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, I blew out my thermostat, of course, a TV, coffee maker, and like one or two other appliances. So
God damn.
I wouldn't. Yeah, man. Like, and like, we didn't even know like shit was broke until you go to use it. You know what I'm saying? And my son, he was about to play his Xbox, and he was like, "That TV ain't don't work." I'm like, "Turn on." You know what I'm saying? And but nah, man, TV, all this stuff, man. So I went and bought a new TV, and I got a Roku TV, which is the bomb. Yo,
I got two of them.
Yo, so I was gonna say I bought two of them. I got a 65, and then I got a 55 inch joint. And man, I don't even need the Amazon Fire Stick no more.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah, because they operate pretty much the same. You know. You know. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like having a little stick because they used to have like they sell the little Roku sticks or whatever. Like when Fire Sticks came out, everybody started coming out with sticks. But Roku has been around for a while. I think Roku was one of the first streaming boxes that you could get. Like, I remember I had one.
They had, like, a little box. Yeah.
It was a little bitty ass box. It looked like a hockey puck almost. And you would hook that up to your TV. And if you didn't have a smart TV, you know, smart TVs weren't the big thing at the time. Like, you could hook that up and you had Netflix and Hulu and all that other stuff running through your Roku. So now with everything being smart TVs, like Roku was like, well, fuck it. We could just go ahead and put our shit in the TV.
Yeah, they just built it all in the TV. Yeah.
Hey, man, I love it, man. And I mean, I don't watch TV like that.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, it's sweet. It is sweet. I ain't gonna lie. It is sweet, man. So I'm really, I did that. What else? I'm about to hook up my motorcycle, man. So I'm literally about to hook my bike up, man. It's about to be warm. I can't wait. Take some road trips. So it's gonna be fun, man.
I hear that. So we about to get into the show, man. We about to really get into the shits. And one of the first stories we gonna talk about here, man, is the fact that Tim Donaghy is back in the news, man. NBA refereeing is back in the news. I know Cliff is all over this one, man. Apparently, there was a story that came out. ESPN was the one who broke it. And they were saying that Tim Donaghy actually did fix NBA games while he was refereeing.
Facts.
So, hold on. Let me see if I can pull this story.
Man, can you do me a favor?
What's that?
Because I'm doing the show from my phone. I need to read. It's a few points in the article I want to touch on.
Okay.
Can you email me that article really fast, and I can pull it up on my laptop?
I can pull it up on the WhatsApp. I can send it to you that way.
I'm going to X out of this because I'm on my phone.
You're on your phone. Goddamn. Give me a second. Because now I got to find it again.
Well, why are you doing that? I'll speak on what I'm about to talk about.
Go ahead, do your
thing. What'd you say?
I said, go ahead, do your thing.
I'm
sending it to you now.
Well, before this story broke, I'm going to say around Christmas, there was a story on Fox Sports Net that I had read about, and they talked about one of the main reasons back in the, I don't know, early 2000s, whatever the time frame was, where they started coming down on the referees for possibly setting the games up, they found out that the referees, back in the day, the way they used to allow the referees to travel, they would say, all right, here's $2,500, go buy you plane ticket, hotel and everything. And what the referees were doing, they would give them a plane ticket that was worth like $2,500. The referee would sell it. And when they sold it, then they would just take, you know, the $1,000 they probably, you know, got for the ticket and get like a Southwest round trip for like $100. So they would pocket the money.
Right.
So they got wind of that. This all kind of happened around the same time. And I bring up the little article I read around Christmas time because they were saying that even after the fact, when they start coming down on referees about, you know, how they were spending, you know, the money or whatever they're doing, these plane tickets, there was still some type of small scandal going around at the time. And it wasn't just with NBA referees. It was with the NFL also. because a lot of these guys, you know, they don't live, you know, you might referee a game here in Chicago, but they might bring somebody else that lives in Cali, you know. You just emailed me that, Span?
Yeah, I sent it.
Okay, I got it. Here you go. Here you go. So I'm going to read some of this. This article is mad long, and it's a big deal.
Hold on, Cliff. There's actually video attached to that article, too. Some of that video may actually kind of wrap up a little bit of that so that you don't have to read all of that shit. Hold on a second.
Let me
pull up the screen so that we can play that here in the chat or whatever. Let me share my screen real quick. I don't know if you guys will be able to see this, though. Let's see. Whoops. All right, there we go. Let me pull up the video there. Here we go. Check it out.
In 2007, the NBA was rocked to its core when the news hit that referee Tim Donaghy had admitted that he had illegally bet on games. Games he himself had officiated. For his crimes, Donaghy would spend 15 months in federal prison. Basketball is especially vulnerable to fixing in a way.
God damn it, man.
What happened?
It's buffering. Let me lower the quality of this shit.
That other sports aren't. For referees, it's simple. To benefit one team, all they have to do is call fouls on the other team. And because fouls are so common in the game and so subjective and discretionary, fixing can be hard to detect. But in an interview with ESPN after he was released from prison, the disgraced referee insisted he had never fixed any games.
I was not actually in these games fixing the games and you know, throwing calls to win a bet.
You expect us to believe that you did nothing to manipulate the outcome of an NBA game.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I can just go back and tell you again that the FBI and even the NBA concluded without a doubt that I did not fix NBA games.
Donaghy continued to insist that he'd never blown his whistle with anything but the best and most honest intentions, only that he had wagered on his own games. In the absence of any concrete proof that he had fixed games, the Department of Justice never charged Donaghy with that crime. And for its part, the NBA commissioned an investigation that concluded that Donaghy had not fixed games. We asked then-Commissioner David Stern about that shortly after the scandal broke.
What does your gut tell you whether Tim Donaghy influenced the outcome of games by making excessive calls?
We can't find it. And his fellow refs can't find it. And as best as we can tell, law enforcement can't find it. So I accept the prevailing view.
Okay, first, I just got to say this right now, though. Like, if you think about it, it would benefit the NBA nothing to actually admit that Tim Donaghy actually, you know, fixed those games. I remember when, like, this whole shit broke. Like, they were under a tremendous amount of, like, pressure to prove that he hadn't fixed games and that some of these games weren't, you know, influenced by, you know, gambling or whatever else. So I can see why the NBA would have an incentive to say that, like, nah, he ain't fixed no games. Like, he was on some bullshit, but he ain't fixed no games. And I could also see how the NBA would be complicit in saying that, like, yo, even if we did find evidence of it, we really don't want this shit to get out to the public.
Well,
you going to say something?
Oh, if you were going to play the video, go ahead.
That conclusion had always seemed too convenient to some, including Phil Scala, the FBI official who busted Donaghy. He recently told ESPN the magazine Scott Eden that Donaghy's claims he'd never fixed a game never really flew with us. It's always been Scala's position, and the FBI's as well, that Donaghy's officiating was at least subconsciously tainted by his wagers. Scala also says that NBA executives were eager to move on from the investigation, telling his agents it's impossible to fix NBA games, that there are too many red flags that would be thrown up,
But Scala says when someone tells you something's impossible, you know they're full of
shit.
Although Donaghy admitted to betting on games as far back as 2003, the NBA investigation of Donaghy only analyzed 17 games he officiated in the 2006-2007 season. In its report, the investigators wrote that only one of those 17 games, Pistons and Nets on December 16, 2006, raised concerns that Donaghy's calls and substantial errors might have been aimed at favoring Detroit.
And the call away from the ball, an offensive foul, that's two on Collins.
The team Donaghy's associates had picked to cover, which the Pistons did. But ESPN, the magazine, decided to conduct its own more complete analysis of all 40 games Donaghy officiated from the time he entered into an agreement with his co-conspirators up until the day their scheme fell apart.
Tim Donaghy, outside official, made the call late.
10 of the games were blowouts and therefore discarded from the analysis. In 23 of the 30 games that were competitive, Donaghy's calls favored the team that his partners had wagered on. That's 77%. In only 3 games did his calls go against their team. The calls were even in the other 4 games. The odds of that imbalance occurring randomly, 6,155-1.
All right. So.
So listen, I got one example in this. I'm going to find this paragraph real quick. And here it is. So, Donaghy, whatever his name is, and another ref were actually in a restaurant. And they were, if you read this article, it's extremely long. He was talking about how they did this. So they would go sit down, have some drinks, some food or whatever. And the bookies would call him and say, who should we bet on, right? And they would get $2,000 to $3,000 per game if that the team that he would, you know, try to perform for would win. So in this one particular instance, check out how many fouls this dude calls. It said it was January 30th, calling one foul against the home team and 12 against Seattle, including 6 straight against the Sonics when the margin was 13 or fewer. Favored by 12, Davis covering Donaghy in Miami, calling 12 fouls against visiting Charlotte, 2 against the Heat covering. They're going over all these different specific games, and he, in one game, this dude called 25 fouls. The other 2 referees called 4. and if you ask me, they say, you know, he didn't have an impact on the game. It's crazy. If you call 20 fouls, hold on. And then Iguodala, when he was with the 76ers, in 50 seconds, he called 3 fouls on Iguodala. In 50 seconds. So you know what? My main point of talk of even bringing this article up, as bad as the refs are nowadays in all sports, umpires, referees, line judges, whatever you want to call them. Listen, even back in the day, I think the game was called better. The game, of course, was played better to me. But it's... my question to you guys is this. Do you think they're still doing it now? Because of how bad the calls are. They're allowing stuff to happen with a blind eye. You know what I'm saying? Do y'all think this is still going on the ref's side?
Yes. It was going on before Donaghy, and it's going to go on after him. We all had, I mean, you can just look at certain games. Go back and think in your life how many times you've been sitting watching a ball game and the game ended so fucked up. And the only thing you can think of, the first thing come out of your mouth is, oh, they cheated, man. The refs cheated for them. They, you know, like, think about it. Some of them times you wasn't lying. You know what I'm saying? Some of them times you might have been wrong, but some of them times you wasn't lying, bro. I mean, anytime you got millions or hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars changing hands and gambling. I mean, the referees are human too, bro. You know what I'm saying? Everybody looking for a payday, man. You out of 100 referees, 10 of them crooked. You know what I'm saying? At least at the very minimum, 10 of them crooked. You know what I mean? So that's how I look at it.
That is a terrible motherfucking percentage, man. So, this motherfucker said like 10% of the NBA referees on the take, bro.
I'm just saying, man.
That is fucking terrible. I you know what, man? I feel like this, right? So, while the video was playing, the Tim Donaghy thing, as it was going on, I remember the NBA really trying to hurry up and get this, you know, get away from it. I remember them trying to hurry up and wrap that investigation up. I remember, you know, like the integrity of the game was being called into question around that time. And, you know, folks were like, yo, like, are these games fixed? And you had a whole bunch of people who, you know, you hear this shit in the barbershop all day long. Like, man, the motherfuckers fix that game for them, man. The NBA, like, the NBA is rigged, especially when you get to the playoffs. Everybody believes that this shit is rigged to get certain teams into the NBA finals for, like, you know, for like, you know, ratings and shit like that. And then, you know, you look at it like, well, if it was ratings or whatever and they were really fixing it, like, why the fuck are the Spurs continuing to be in the finals? Because everybody called the Spurs boring as shit. The Spurs and the Pistons made it to the NBA finals at one point, and nobody wanted to see them people, you know, see them teams in the NBA finals. So I think at some point, like, if you were already on the, if you already felt like NBA games were rigged, Tim Donaghy coming out or Tim Donaghy being exposed was all the confirmation you needed to believe that all these games are rigged. If you weren't someone who believed that NBA games are rigged, Tim Donaghy was like, oh shit, well maybe there's a possibility that these games are rigged. I don't necessarily know if this is as prevalent as we, you know, I don't know if this is as prevalent as a lot of folks would like for us to believe. I think that what we're seeing with the game now is because, truth be told, a lot of the ways that the game is played is a bit foreign from the way that we grew up watching it. And so when it comes to officiating it, you'd be like, yo, that's a travel. And they're just not calling it that way anymore, right? Like the game, like the way that the game is being played now, they're just not calling the same things that they used to call because of the way that the game is being played. It's like it's a different style and we're just not used to it. But if you got this thing in your head that, yo, these games are fixed, if James Harden gets away with that travel, you like, yo, man, that's that shit right there. That's that shit I be talking about right there. So I just kind of feel like, yo, it. I don't know if it's still a thing or if it's the referees fixing games. I kind of wonder how much of it is the style of the game changing over the years and the referees calling themselves adjusting to it, and we're just not really vibing with how the game is being called or how the game is being played right now.
The game, the only thing that's changed in the game is the players. All right, they have expanded the way the game is played only because of, you know, better athleticism. You know, but as far as
European players coming to the league too, you know what I'm saying, bringing different things along.
Well, I mean, no matter where they're from, the thing is I know we talk about this often, but it applies now. A travel is a travel, yo. You can't sit here and be like, oh, that didn't count 40 years ago. I mean, I'm not saying that's what you're saying, Spam, but it's the same thing. The calls that we argue about and that we complain about have not, that rule, it's a rule, it's not even a judgment. See, it's a difference between a judgment call like a foul. I feel like you inhibited this player from shooting this basket. That's a foul. A rule is not arguable. You cannot argue a rule, okay? And the rule for traveling has not changed. Even with the Euro step, it was like real close to being a travel,
The Euro step is sort of blurring the line, man, because, you know, they give you two steps to gather yourself before you take that shot. Like, you look at that Euro step, a lot of them are kind of like borderline three steps.
I think it's one and a half is the actual rule. No, it ain't really a four or two.
No, you get three steps. After the ball comes up with that foot, you get two more.
Now, think about this. Hold on. Now, just think about this for a second. All three of us right now just gave three different fucking answers to what we think was a travel.
So how in the hell we think the American public feel about watching the game? You're absolutely right, man.
we just all gave three different examples of what we think was a travel. So in the middle of a game, like, we could be watching the same shit, and I'm thinking, like, nah, that motherfucker traveled. And Walt, you might be like, nah, man, he still had one more step to go. And Cliff, like, I don't know. You know what
I'm saying? Okay. Let's be specific. Here's the definition of traveling.
Okay.
And y'all ready for this? Okay. Okay, when a player is holding the ball, moves one or both feet illegally, traveling is so-called, and it says in street ball, walking or steps. Don't you love the internet? At the street ball. But it says you are allowed to take two steps.
That's what I said.
Two steps.
That's what I said.
So
you can pivot. I don't know where Cliff got three from.
No, so in motion. When you dribble, that foot that's there, that's not included in your two. Okay, that's why you can. That's why they say you got three when you run it. But here's my thing. All I have to say is this: the travel and fouling rule, judgment call. My thing is this guy in this article. I'm not even gonna go to the paragraph because it's hard to find right now. He said he was able to call these games within 6 points. All right, 6 points. So that in a tight ball game, that's a lot of control, if you ask me. That's a lot of control. And, you know, my thing is the way he got caught, you know, I don't even read that far down into the story. But my thing is I think he just made somebody mad. Somebody lost a lot of money. On him not calling or calling too much or whatever the case may be. But I do feel like that there is still some foul play. It might not even be that voluntary like this dude did, but I think politics has a huge role now in how the game is being called. And I say that because people like favorites. Okay, I know you guys can't stand New England, but guess what? As many people that don't like New England is that many people that wanted them to win. And I would have loved seeing New England play, you know, the Saints in the Super Bowl, you know, besides the Rams, that's just me. But, you know, I think that politics has a key, just a little bit of that, because guess what? Nobody wants to see the Charlotte Hornets win the damn championship. I know I don't. Nobody does.
I mean, okay. The people of Charlotte probably wants to see the motherfuckers win a championship. I'm just saying.
I just want to see more people win the championships. But, I mean, if you think about it, the same teams are in rotation winning the championships in the league over and over and over again.
Think about this. I go back to my example of the Spurs. Like, people looked at the Spurs as a boring team. Nobody really wanted to see the Spurs in the NBA Finals, and yet the Spurs continuously found themselves there. The Detroit Pistons during the 2000s, when they were going through their little run with, you know, Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace and those guys, like, outside of Detroit, nobody give a fuck about the Pistons, man. Like, that's just pretty much what it was. Like, and that's not even being shady. That's just facts. Nobody gave a fuck about that team, man. So, like, I think to a certain degree, man, we kind of look at the refereeing, and sometimes when we talk about the refereeing, we kind of give them, you know, like, yeah, we know they have tremendous influence over the game, and you would hate for them to influence the game in such a way where it's weighing the odds for one team over the other. But I think if we're going to compare today's game to, like, saying what happened with Tim Donaghy, I don't know if we really have evidence of that continuing. That's pretty much what I'm getting at. I don't know if we have evidence of that continuing. That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, I agree. And I'm saying that now the cheating, all right, the cheating now is political. Hey, make sure that New England wins. Make sure that Golden State wins, all right? And make sure you don't call that travel. Make sure you don't do that. You know, it's ways around being blatant, right? And I think that money in politics is the new cheating referee. I think that's what it is. I mean, back in the day, I mean, look at Michael Jordan. He was heavy, super heavy in gambling, especially on sports.
And many people believe that the reason why he retired was because he got caught up in some gambling shit. Many people believe that the reason why his dad is dead right now is because he got caught up in some gambling shit.
Yeah.
Well, the word on the street here for the longest was the mob told him to quit and go play baseball. You know, but here's the thing, man. With the amount of money that I think we talked about this last time, the amount of money now is so great that there is foul play. Okay, it's always going to be some dirty hands in there. So it just depends on what level it is. And with the pettiness that they're doing with not calling this obvious travel that James Harden is doing, you know, it kills me. As a matter of fact, I was speaking on that with Scottie Pippen and how he said that if he's such an all-star, how come he don't play defense? It's like he didn't got to because he got the referees on his side. He ain't got to. They ain't going to call it. You know, but I don't know, man. You know, I hate to say it, but that's why I am not as involved with the NBA as I was before, because somebody like what this dude was doing on the side, taking all these bets, and he ruined it for us now, if you ask me, to a degree.
So Marcus in the chat room, he said nobody wanted the Cavs to win. I don't know about that, man. I think a whole lot of people wanted to see LeBron win.
LeBron, exactly.
I think a whole lot of folks wanted to see LeBron win, man.
Oh, hold on. Hey, Mark, that's a nice hat you got on there, bro. That's a nice hat you got on your head. I see you shining.
Yeah, man. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on. We're still in the NBA, but we're going to move on to another topic. And that topic is ex-Sacramento Kings point guard Mike Bibby. Mike Bibby has been accused of sexual assault at the high school where he's a head coach of the boys basketball team. So let me see. I think I got video of this. Let me see if I can pull this up so we can all kind of watch this with each other. Let's pull it. Yeah, there we go.
Former Sacramento Kings star Mike Bibby is facing a sexual abuse and harassment allegation in Arizona. Bibby coaches boys basketball at Shadow Mountain High School in Phoenix. The Paradise Valley Union School District says they were notified about the allegations by police. The Arizona Republic reports that a court granted a restraining order to a Shadow Mountain teacher last Friday. According to documents, the teacher claims that Bibby groped her and rubbed his genitals against her on school grounds in January of 2017. Bibby's attorney denied the allegations. Gilma Avalos for CBS 13 News.
Hey, man.
Former Sacramento Kings.
What the fuck was funny about that?
What? You know what's funny? Is this. The way the media, the words they use. What happened ain't funny.
But yeah, it was the word that she used.
It's the word. He rubbed his genitals on her backside.
What were they supposed to say? He whipped his dick out and put it on her ass? Like,
Span. I mean, come on, not really.
Yes,
right, I know they can't. Come on, man. We know he can't. They can't say that.
So,
that don't mean I can't laugh at what she's saying.
I don't know. That was funny. I don't know if that was funny. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get what's funny about the fact that this nigga may have like put his dick out on her, and she didn't want it. I don't see what's funny about that.
He's not saying the act is
I'm
funny.
I'm not saying what he did was funny. Come on, now, Donald Trump.
Come on, man.
Why are you so uptight, man?
I'm not uptight. I'm just saying, like, I didn't understand what was funny about that. Now, talking about whether or not, you know, this dude, former NBA basketball player, he's coaching, you know, high school, you know, kids or whatever. He does this at work. At a certain point, like, you know, with everything going on with Me Too and everything, man, like, at a certain point, you would think dudes would know fucking better, dude. You would think dudes would know fucking better. And so I kind of wanted the thoughts that you guys had on whether or not you think, you know, Mike Bibby will be yet another person to find himself possibly without a job, maybe not being able to coach basketball anymore. He certainly won't be able to be in that district anymore. But do you think that at a certain point that another school district or a college would even entertain Mike Bibby coaching there with this kind of thing hanging over him?
With
go ahead.
With the climate today, you know, I mean, we just got finished with the what's his name, Larry Nassar. What's the Michigan guy name? that that was assaulting the girls or whatever.
Larry Nassar, he was Michigan State physician.
And we just got finished with that, you know. I mean, this type of thing, it's been going on. I mean, they even tried to get Isaiah Thomas on something like that back in the day, I believe. So I think now you could have, back then you could have saved your job. I think now with the shit being all over the news, every week is somebody different, somebody in power different, or somebody in, you know, some type of stature or limelight different with these allegations from the Weinsteins to Bill Cosby to athletes to, I mean, the list just goes on. That's just a fireable offense now. Like, you don't even get a chance to defend yourself. You don't even get a chance to say, I didn't do it. You know, like, you don't even get a trial. You don't get none of that. Like, once that type of thing come out, it's like your job is done and nobody else wants to touch you. So I think he just might have destroyed what could have been a good coaching career. He might have, you know, got elevated to college, maybe back in the league or something one day, you know, as an assistant or something. You never know, man. But it's sad to see dudes going out like that. And I kind of wanted to say the same thing Spence said. Like, you would think by now, like, motherfuckers know better. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, dude, are you that hard up for some action for real, man? Like, motherfuckers can't control themselves these days. Like, we'll be grown men, dog. Like, this is terrible, man.
So I got an additional question for you, though, Walt. Like, you said that, you know, the allegation in and of itself can, like, ruin a guy's career. They decided to let him go after an investigation. Do you think that the investigation was just a mere formality and that they was going to get rid of this dude anyway because of this came out?
Hell, they might not even did the investigation. They might have just said it. You know what I'm saying? They might have just said they did an investigation. They might not even did the shit. I mean, and we talking about high school. So it's not like this some league that's got a lot of public attention, or, you know what I'm saying, that's got to please the public for certain things, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. We talking about a high school. It's easy for the high school to just find another coach. Nigga, like, bye. Like, he ain't on no million dollar contract and no shit like that.
How easy is it for a high school to get a coach who was also the former point guard of a team that damn near went to the NBA finals? How easy is it for a high school to get an NBA caliber point guard to coach that squad?
We had an NBA caliber player as a coach in high school.
I know Kelso was an NBA player, but was Kelso the caliber player of Mike Bibby?
I wouldn't say he was Mike Bibby, but I'm saying, like,
and Cooley isn't even a thing anymore. So, like,
I'll put it to you like this. Just because you played in the NBA don't mean like you're the greatest coach. It's dudes that played in the NBA that can't even coach. And you know what I'm saying? Like, in the NBA. Right. So I don't think that really plays a factor in the decision with them, you know, letting him go or not. Because at the end of the day, sexual assault and all that shit outweighs your NBA career. You know what I mean?
No, I get all of that. I'm asking because you said it's easy for them to get another coach. And I'm saying, when you have a coach with the name Mike Bibby, who was former point guard of the Sacramento Kings, was an all-star, took his team damn near to the NBA finals. Like, when you have a person with that kind of name recognition, his dad was like a Hall of Fame coach, coached in Arizona, I believe, or Arizona State at some point. Like, his dad was also a coach. Like, when you have that kind of name recognition in the state, like, Mike Bibby went to Arizona. Like, so when you have someone with that kind of name recognition, that kind of cachet in the state, how easy is it for a high school to replace somebody with that kind of cachet? Like, I don't know if they would necessarily just walk away from that dude, knowing that that guy carries that kind of name, carries that kind of reputation with him for his basketball acumen. Not even talking about his, like, you know.
I think it would be easy for him to get rid of him. You know why? Because them basketball players on that team got mamas. And if mama put the pressure, mamas don't like all that sexual assault and all that, man. Mama put the pressure on there, get rid of dude, man. I'm telling you.
What you think, Liv?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, shout out to the lady for actually coming out and saying something, first of all, because some women are afraid to, especially like you're saying with a person with Mike, as Mike Bibby, you know, being, you know, considerably famous and NBA, all that stuff, you know, big time. So here's what I got to say to that, man. There are some thirsty people in the world, and that lady can be one of them, all right, to get her 15 seconds. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, if it did happen to her, sorry, but if it didn't, this is what people who have money and power can possibly deal with, and he might be innocent. So I agree with Walt saying that the allegations will put a stain on his name in general, even if he wants to go somewhere else. You know, he goes to another school and, you know, say, well, we can't get Mike, you know, because he ended up, you know, putting his genitals on people. But no, I think that that until the facts come out, he'll keep a job. But if it's true, by all means, he's not going to be able to get another job at another school. They might even ban him from coaching. You know, situations like that do happen. Here in Chicago, there was a guy who was the coach for the girls basketball team, and for years, I forgot the school. This was maybe a couple years back. For years, a few girls came out like after the fact and said, yeah, he used to do this, that, and the third. So even though those were the players and this is a teacher, she's grown. But it happens, man, especially in schools, because it's a lot of women and it's a lot of moms, just like Walt said. But I think Mike Bibby will fight it if he's innocent. You know, if they go and see that, you know, they got some legitimate, you know, proof that he did it, then he's screwed. You know, he's screwed. I didn't even know he was actually coaching, man. He doesn't seem like the coaching type, but I don't know. Unfortunately, all these dudes are in the media nowadays, touching and rubbing and screwing and all this other stuff. Everybody, like Michael Jackson, that little thing that came out with him. But no, man, I think that's kind of it.
Will he get another job at some point? I mean, the man got to earn a living. Will it be in basketball? Possibly. But he's definitely going to lose some opportunities that he probably would have had this not have happened. There's definitely some stuff that he was probably looking at down the line that's going to be taken off the table now just from those allegations alone. You know what I mean? So.
All right. So first thing, you know, when you say he has to earn a living, like one would hope that he was smart with his money when he was in the NBA making millions of fucking dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like, one would hope he didn't blow through all that fucking money. So the whole
shit. A lot of them do, man.
I'm aware of that. There's a story about Joe Johnson out here right now talking about his child support is $6,200 a month, and he bitching about not being able to pay that, and he was robbing the motherfucking NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joe Johnson walked away from the NBA, made over $200 million, and he's bitching about $6,200 in child support. So we know that players go broke, right? I'm saying when we talk about him being able to earn a living, one would hope that after earning millions of dollars that he didn't blow through that money and he needs his high school coaching job in order for him to make ends meet. That's what I'm saying. But the other thing is like when it comes to like the sexual assault stuff, man, I think we kind of lean on this whole thing of, well, you know, maybe she's looking for her 15 minutes or whatever. And I'm trying to figure out who are the women who get famous for coming out because some dude.
I wasn't going to go there.
Who are these women that get rich and famous because they said some dude fucking sexually assaulted them? I don't know that. I don't know if that's how that works. You know what I'm saying? Usually when a woman comes forward and says that she was sexually assaulted by some famous dude, the first thing we go to, like, this bitch is out for money, or she just trying to tear this dude's name down or whatever. We never really consider the fact that maybe this nigga was on some bullshit. And we know
that's why they don't like to come out.
And we know niggas be on bullshit. This is the fucked up part about it. Like, we know dudes be on bullshit. We've seen niggas on bullshit. So like, it's weird when like we think about this, Well, we like, yo, well, we, you know, maybe she was on some, you know, I got to get, you know, get even with him, or I got to get some money out of him or whatever. Like, we always kind of go into that area where we think, like, it's something nefarious with her, but we never consider the fact that, like, yo, it's a whole lot of evidence a nigga just being out here on some bullshit. And maybe Mike Bibby in that particular moment might have been thinking, because I'm Mike Bibby, yeah, of course she going. I'm Mike Bibby. What? Why the fuck wouldn't she want to go? You know what I'm saying? And so that's an attitude that kind of permeates a lot of the guys who may have been NBA players who were used to having, you know, things kind of given to them and, like, used to having things go their way. And here's somebody who's saying no, and they don't know how to respond to it, and they overreact to something, and they're like, now you done something wrong, right? So with Mike Bibby, I would hope that this dude didn't do that kind of shit. But also, considering all the shit that we've seen over the years, I wouldn't be surprised if he did do that shit. I wouldn't be surprised if he did do that shit. And so, and plus, we don't know these niggas like that. Like, we don't know none of these niggas. We were like, yeah, man, she made that shit up. Like, how? Nigga, we don't know that nigga. He may have just very well did that shit. So, I would hope, you know, like, you know, like, as far as him going forward, like, as far as him maybe getting a job going forward or whatever, it might not be coaching high school basketball. At some point in time, maybe an NBA team gives him a call. Probably not. Maybe a college team gives him a call. Probably not. You never really know. But at the same time, it's just like, yo, man, like, niggas got to learn that there are certain things that you just can't do anymore, because you're going to be held accountable for this. Like, a lot of times, man, we guys have been kind of operating with impunity, and before people were just like, oh, that bitch is out for money. It ain't necessarily that no more, because you can't really say, like, you know, like, again, I go back to that question, how many of these women that accused a rich and powerful dude of sexual assault was actually, like, trying to get notoriety for having been raped by some dude? Like, there's no fucking notoriety that comes with that. Mostly that comes with infamy. People be like, oh, that's the bitch that took out, that's the bitch that accused Mike Tyson, or that's the bitch that did this, that, and the other. Like, that's pretty much what their life is after that. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. I don't think it's about being, I don't.
One more thing, though. Like, a lot of this is situational, and dudes gotta be smarter. You know, where I work at a school. You know, I'm around a lot of women, which are teachers, and then a lot of students, and a lot of, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. So you got to kind of, like, not make sure to try your best not to put yourself in a situation to where if another person see you, they can't even make an assumption that you did something or said something, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be mindful not to put yourself in a situation where a person could be able to accuse you. So if you Mike Bibby and you didn't do this, What kind of situation did you put yourself in for this woman to be able to say you did it? You know what I'm saying? Or accuse you. You know what I'm saying? So dudes just gotta just be smarter. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, dudes gotta be smart about the situations they put themselves in, man. Cause sometimes the allegations ain't true. But, you know, perception is everything. If it looks that way, I mean, you look guilty, you know? So,
I mean, here's the thing, man. You know, I agree with both of y'all. The thing is, you know, these athletes are used to women falling over them and whatever, whatever. But you never hear about a woman, you never hear about a man saying she put her genitals on a man, because that ain't how that goes. But no, women are out here to get a check, man, at the end of the day. And some of them are telling the truth, unfortunately, that it happened to them. And then some of them are straight up lying. That does happen all the time, especially because people have.
How often does that happen?
I think the lies happen more often than the truth do.
How often does that happen?
How often does what happen?
How often do you find false rape allegations happen? How often does that happen?
The only thing I can say to that, Twan, is I know a couple guys who played professional, and there are some situations that have happened. I mean, a lot of these situations are going to be behind closed doors settlements anyway. So you're not going to know.
Well, again, like I just said, situations. Putting yourself in situations where somebody can attempt to accuse you or try to accuse you. You know what I mean?
The point that I'm
making. That's kind of hard, too, because you're going to always be around people. You know what I'm saying? So I hear what you're saying. But all I'm simply is this, is it is people out here who have motives at the end of the day, and it's not to be famous. It's to get a check.
I'll say this, okay?
Simple.
Most, like, for one, sexual assault, rape is probably one of the most underreported crimes that we have, right?
Yes.
A lot of women don't come forward because people believe that they may be lying, or that, you know, because it's such and such, nobody's going to believe me, because why would he have to do this to me, right? Also, you got athletes who may very well be on the bullshit, and they're feeding off of that whole attitude of it's me. Why would I have to do that to her, right? They're feeding off of that. So, in any event where you got sexual assault happening, and it's usually like her word against his, more often than not, a lot of these dudes get the benefit of the doubt because it's, why would I have to take anything from her? Y'all know who I am. You know what I'm saying? And they are able to kind of coast on that. And it's part of the reason why women don't come forward when this shit does happen to them. And, like, it is weird, like, kind of like when you look at the statistics on sexual assault and the out of the ones that are reported, sexual assault, typically the false allegations that are made usually fall between like 2 and 8%. The vast majority of those cases, those weren't lying. They weren't lying. And I think sometimes when we start talking about, well, a few guys that we may know said that these bitches was lying, then, like, no, for real, like, real talk, like, we start harping on this very minute percentage, and we kind of discount the vast majority of these people who ain't lying. And so, like, I feel like that needs to be said. I don't know what the fuck that was, but I feel like that needed to be said, because, yo, man, like, there's a lot of sexual assault that's happening. Damn. With athletes. What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. There's a lot of sexual assault that's happening with athletes, with famous people and whatever. But, you know, when it comes to this particular subject, I think a lot of times these women aren't being believed. And part of the reason why they aren't being believed is because it's with these famous people, these powerful people, and folks just feel like they don't have to take anything from these women. And that's precisely why they do it. So, yeah, man, let's move on to the next topic. Shit. This is heavy. Who was that? Antonio Brown, man. Antonio Brown going through it with the motherfucking Pittsburgh Steelers. He had an interview. Oh, shit. Cliff just dropped out. Maybe he'll come back. But he had an interview on ESPN where he was talking about whether or not he would whatever team he go to, they'd have to follow his rules. They'd have to abide by what he's got going on. And in this particular interview, he talked about how Ben Roethlisberger referred to the rest of his teammates as kids. Said it was 52 kids, and you know, he's got to kind of lord over them or whatever, and he has no respect for those for his teammates and whatnot. How do you feel about the fact that? Well, do you think that Antonio Brown is correct in his assessment? And after watching that interview, do you feel as if we may have been judging Antonio Brown wrongly?
Well, I don't know, because I didn't watch the interview in its entirety. I read some of the article. My thing with Antonio Brown is, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I think he kind of made himself look bad the way he went about things. You understand? But I think Roethlisberger was the biggest problem on that team. I do. I've been thinking that, and they just, to hell with trading Antonio Brown, man. Let Ben Roethlisberger go. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Roethlisberger, old, beat up, you know what I'm saying, or whatever the case may be. If I was the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would have kept Antonio Brown and tried to find something to do with Roethlisberger. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I don't like the way Antonio Brown handled the situation, and, like, I don't like the way he comes off as an asshole, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole thing with him saying, I don't need football. So they playing on my terms now, you know what I'm saying, or whatever the case may be. It's like, dude, if you don't need football, then shit, get the hell on. You know what I mean? Like, with the, whatever the case may be. But I don't know.
We're talking about Antonio Brown right now, man.
I heard everything y'all said. Walt is right. Get rid of Roethlisberger.
Get rid of Roethlisberger. It didn't make no sense to me, man. Like, Antonio Brown has if not, him and Jones and
what the f- Hold on, Walt. God damn, what the fuck is that?
I don't know. Cliff brought it in with it.
Okay, finish your point, man, because I just...
No, I'm saying, like, you know, this dude is proven to be, you know, if not top, if he's not the best, he's top two in the league in wide receiver. And he may, right now, he's prolonged Ben Roethlisberger career. You know what I'm saying? Him and Le'Veon Bell has prolonged Ben Roethlisberger career longer than what the hell it's supposed to be. They made him look better. And you know what I'm saying? So, take a page out of Le'Veon Bell book. If I'm Antonio Brown, take a page out of Le'Veon Bell book, but just do it gracefully like Le'Veon Bell did. Antonio Brown doing kind of the same thing, but he talking too much shit and it's making him look bad in the public eye. I personally fucks with it, but what I'm saying from, you know, in the public view and other teams looking at him, they're going to look at him like he's you know, like he can be like a cancer to their team type of shit before they pick him up. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
definitely.
Like I said, he should have did it differently, but I'm with you, Span. I think I look at Antonio Brown better now, and like Ben Roethlisberger looks even worse to me. You know what I mean?
The problem with the Steelers is not Antonio Brown. It's the quarterback. They got somebody who needs a wheelchair and a walker. Get rid of Roethlisberger. Like, for real. I don't the whole thing with the 52 babies or 52 boys. You know, that type of talk, man, that don't bring people together. You know what I'm saying? But Antonio...
He was under the bus all season.
Huh?
Roethlisberger was even throwing Mike Tomlin under the bus all season. Like, he been going through Pittsburgh wrecking shop. Like, he don't give a fuck about nobody.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the thing is, Antonio Brown has a much longer career ahead of him than Roethlisberger right now. You got to get rid of the stain and keep it moving. Ben, his time is up. He's not my boy. He's not Tom Brady. He needs to just know his position, in which that right now is going to get replaced eventually. I can't say. I didn't see the interview either, Span. But I did, of course, read just a little bit of it. Listen, man, I don't think Antonio Brown is a bad dude. You know, he's speaking his mind, and I'm with anybody that speaks their mind respectfully, you know, so I don't know, man. The problem ain't him, it's Ben, period.
Like I said, I'm with you, Cliff. I'm with the shit. I like him, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I just, he didn't do himself, you know what I'm saying, any justice by doing it, that by being that way. You know what I'm saying? I think he might have hurt himself a little bit in other teams' eyes.
Okay, so... I'm of the mindset that both things can be true. That Ben Roethlisberger is a problem and Antonio Brown himself is a problem. And that you got the two biggest stars of that team sniping at each other and is to the detriment. Why? Right? So, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has pretty much been coasting on the fact that he won two Super Bowls. It's been a long time since the Steelers won the chip. It's been a while. And Ben Roethlisberger has been able to kind of coast on the fact that I'm a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, right? I think Antonio Brown has been, you know, he's been a productive wide receiver, no doubt. But at the same time, he believes that his production on the field warrants the headache that he produces off the field for his score, you know, for his team. And so both of them become a problem for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nobody really wants to play with Ben Roethlisberger. Nobody really wants to play with Antonio Brown. And if you're going to get, if anybody has any trade value, it's Antonio Brown. But Antonio Brown is fucking up his trade value because everybody looking at what's going on in Pittsburgh, like, why the fuck would I bring that here? You know what I'm saying? As much as As much as that dude can produce on the field, the minute this dude feels like he's above the team, suddenly he acts as if he doesn't need to do team things anymore. He's only out for self. Ben Roethlisberger is on his way out the motherfucking door. Like, he really has no trade value. The only team that's really, really willing to keep or give him a shot would be the Pittsburgh Steelers because, yo, he brought him two chips. You know what I'm saying? Or he was a part of the team that brought him two chips. Because one of those Super Bowls, he wasn't the reason why they won that bitch. He was the quarterback, but he wasn't the reason why they won that bitch. And so I'm looking at this as both can be true. Both of these motherfuckers has fucked over that Pittsburgh Steelers squad. And it is a headache for the Pittsburgh Steelers to have to deal with the both of them. The only thing is, Pittsburgh may end up with the short end of the stick because Ben Roethlisberger, nobody wants him because he's on his way out the door. And they may be stuck with Antonio Brown because nobody's going to be willing to give up really any real assets knowing that they're going to be bringing back a fucking headache in Antonio Brown. Hold on, I'm not finished. They may be bringing another headache in with him because the minute he starts producing, he believes he's above the rest of the fucking team and they may not want to bring that into their locker room.
Where Antonio Brown messed up at, well, it wasn't really nothing that he can control. But I think one of the reasons why he was starting to get looked at more of a cancer than Ben Roethlisberger and why he's on his way out of the door faster is Juju Smith-Schuster showed up. Juju Smith-Schuster. They found another receiver. You understand what I'm saying? Juju Smith-Schuster showed up and started balling. They're like, wait a minute. Antonio, you ain't really the shit right now no more. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you can really just put that all on Juju Smith-Schuster only because of this, man. Like, yo, once you have a dominant receiver in Antonio Brown, you get another dominant receiver, now they can't like just double and triple team this dude on a route. So if you get rid of Antonio Brown, who else do you have on the other side of the ball to take attention off of Juju Smith-Schuster?
Now, what you're saying is correct, but I'm saying between Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, if you got to get rid of one, if one got to go, at least you got Juju Smith-Schuster. You ain't got another Ben Roethlisberger back. You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on. But Ben Roethlisberger ain't really the Ben Roethlisberger of old. This is the point that I'm saying. Like, both of these dudes have made themselves.
Would you take Ben Roethlisberger?
No. So
would you take an old Ben Roethlisberger over a young nobody?
No. I'm saying, like, Ben Roethlisberger Ben Roethlisberger is not the Ben Roethlisberger we grew up watching. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. I agree with you on that part.
So, that dude is a liability. Antonio Brown has also made himself a liability because I'm sure, as much as he's out here talking, that there's a lot of people in that locker room that don't want to fuck with or don't want to play with Antonio Brown. And there's a lot of teams who are watching the way that this shit is playing out. I'm like, man, I don't want to bring that shit into this motherfucking locker room, man. Leave that motherfucker where he at. Nobody wants to bring that kind of headache to their squad. So he's made himself a liability.
Okay, let me ask both of you guys a question then. Okay, let's just eliminate Ben out the picture right now because in due time, he's not going to be a topic or conversation. Do you think Antonio Brown is coachable?
No.
Yes.
No.
I don't. Yes.
I think Antonio Brown has pretty much decided that, like, yo, I'm the best wide receiver in the game right now. These teams need me. They want me. He's already like, I don't even need this game.
That's a wide receiver thing, though. I mean, come on, man. We talking Michael Irvin. We talking Ocho Cinco. We talking Terrell Owens. Come on. That's a wide receiver thing, man. Like, they all like that. Hold
on. And you saw what happened to a lot of those wide receivers. When they got to that point, the motherfuckers found themselves out of a league and not on the team. Terrell Owens could have still been playing in the motherfucking league, and he found himself out of a squad.
Okay, well, here's what I asked that for a reason. All right, we're talking about you guys still with me?
I'm here. I think Walt fell off. He may be coming back, but Walt fell out.
So here's my thing. You guys talk about how he's ruining his possibilities of, you know, going to another team because he's speaking out and this, that, and third. I asked if he's coachable only because if he is, he just needs the right people behind him. You know, sometimes it takes that. A prime example was in San Francisco when what was the linebacker for the Bears who was the coach. Mike.
Singletary.
Michael Singletary. When he was the coach, I'm trying to think of this tight end's name. Oh, I forgot his name. I'm looking at his face. But Singletary used to be in them dudes' asses. He wouldn't let them go out there talking crazy, all that stuff. So he was trying to show them, you know, how to walk around and talk to the media and, you know, this, that, and the third. So I think if Antonio is, if he has the open heart or open mind to actually listen to somebody, I don't think that he's going to have an issue. I think you need to have the right people around you coaching wise, you know, and then I think he would excel greatly. I mean, maybe over there in Pittsburgh, it's just, you know, free for all, who knows? But I think if he's coachable and he connects with the right team, I think he has a chance. I think he has a really damn good chance too, especially because, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm taking him over every other wideout in the league either. I'm not doing that. But he is top five for sure. You know,
I'll put him top three. It's not a whole lot of wide receivers that I think are better than Antonio Brown. I think the guy has fucking talent. I mean, the dude is
big. Yeah.
The dude has immense talent. But with that, like, you know, this attitude that he's, you know, that he's kind of put out and the way that he's kind of conducted himself makes it hard for another team to be like, do we really want to bring that here? You know what I'm saying? Like, and there have been, you know, other wide receivers that had that attitude. Like, you know, you think about Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens was one of those immensely talented wide receivers who found himself, like, you know, at a certain point after he left San Francisco, he was bouncing around. He ended up in Philadelphia. He ended up with the Cowboys. Like, he was bouncing around, and then he found himself out of the fucking league. Like, and people just felt like they didn't, like, yo, we're not putting up with this shit. And to a certain point, I think that he may be fucking himself out of opportunities because of the way he's handling this particular situation.
Well, I agree. You're right. You're right. Even with what he's saying, Twan, let's be real. In sports nowadays, these athletes talk out the side of their neck, man, and they still get jobs.
But they're not throwing their teams under the bus, though, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, this dude is kind of throwing his squad under the bus.
Well, be that as it is, I'm just saying, man. Bussing, throwing him on the bus, whatever. Listen, Terrell Owens, you know, he didn't learn. How about that? He didn't learn. They gave him mad opportunity to straighten up, and he never did. Other than that, it's a lot of other athletes in all sports that have been taught crazy to everybody, right? And they kept a job. And we're talking about right currently now, one of the most elite, you say top three, fine. Wide receivers in the NFL, I look at it like this. He is leading the league as far as, you know, being an athlete, being a wide receiver. Allen Iverson went on TV and said, practice, and he kept a job. And he was talking crazy about his own coach complaining about him. So I'm just it's easy example to use. But I'm just saying, man, I don't think he's going to put that much harm on his career with the fact that he's saying, you know, what he's saying about his team. He might be right. And guess what? That those locker rooms, everybody knows, especially within those locker rooms on other teams, they know what's going on. Them dudes talk all the time. So if it is that bad, it must be bad, you know. And I don't think it's professional. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that he's mouthing off, I don't think it's gonna stop teams from wanting him. I'm sorry. It's been worse cases, if you ask me, you know, where dudes did some really bad stuff and they kept a job. So, you know, and with the fact that, like you said, if he's top three, they can give a damn what he's saying about that locker room, because right now Pittsburgh is falling apart in the first place.
I think this. If there were a lot of teams that, like, were willing to bring on Antonio Brown right now, there would already be a lot of trade, like, offers for Antonio Brown. Like, I think that, like, if there were a bunch of teams, they're like, you know what? he's worth the risk, and you got the draft coming up, I think there will be a whole bunch of things like, okay, we could put together a package, bring that dude over here. Maybe he just needs to change the scenery, right? Like, because that's a lot of, you know, a lot of folks think that, like, yo, well, maybe he just needs to change the scenery. Maybe he needs a new coach, you know, maybe he needs a new opportunity. You know, he could get a fresh start here with us and everything else. But I think that if a lot of teams believe that, there would already be a lot of offers on the table for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get rid of Antonio Brown. And we're not seeing that right now.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm saying we're just not seeing like those offers coming through and teams willing to put together a package to get Antonio Brown on their squad. Like, you know, I feel like if that were the case, if there were teams that were like, yo, we need to get that guy over here despite all the bullshit that's going on with him. Like, yo, man, we could put together a couple picks, man. Like, you know, maybe one of these motherfuckers that we got on the bench and whatnot, like he's a star or whatever, or we think he may be a star. But in order to get a player of that caliber, we might need to throw him in this pick, you know, in this package. I believe that if he were that kind of player and people were willing to put up with the bullshit that he's got going on, those packages would already be out there for him.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, but I think otherwise, because at the end of the day, well, first of all, let me ask you, is he a free agent?
No.
Okay, so that just X is a big thing for me. At the end of the day, if he's not able to just be freely traded right now, then it's not going to be any talk. If he wants to leave and he has the option right now, that would be up to him. So I don't know what the restrictions are right now. I don't know what contractually where he's sitting to be traded. So I can't really make a statement on what you just said. But if he was able to be traded officially, dude, he'd be gone. He'd be gone.
They calling you, Cliff.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm saying, though, like the whole thing is, like, yo, if teams wanted him, they would put together the package to trade for him. He's still under contract. So if they wanted him, those packages would already be at the, like, yo, Pittsburgh would be like batting the motherfuckers off with sticks, man. Like, yo, we can't, like, everybody want this motherfucker. We might be able to get rid of this dude and get ourselves something going forward in the future and not lose anything. Right now, that's not really happening. It's not really happening. So, like, even if he were like a free agent, like, free agency would, like, the way you would determine the teams really wanted him, like, he'd be asking for a certain amount of money, and them teams were like, well, I don't know, man. Like, maybe we put some incentives in your shit, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you play a certain amount of games, you know, you catch a certain amount of balls, you hit a certain amount of receiving yards. We'll incentivize your shit. But, yeah, man, that $80 million you want 4 years, nah, I don't know about that one, man. We got to incentivize your shit. That's all I'm saying, man. I think that if teams really wanted to deal with him right now, he's under contract still. If they really wanted to fuck with him like that, Pittsburgh will be fielding offers for him right now, and I don't think we're seeing a whole hell of a lot of deals for, you know, anybody really trying to get at Antonio Brown like that. It's not really happening right now. So I don't know what the hell happened to Walt. Walt fell out. But it's about time for us to get on up out of here. But, of course, before we do, y'all know how we get down. And it's
we'll do it live. Okay. Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, man?
I am winging it on my boy Marcus on the show, holding down the Cubs. Ain't had another Cubs fan on the show since we started the show. So, shout out to the homie Marcus, man. Listen. You need to support me, man. I got some haters on here all the time. Put me under every time, every second they can. Every second they can. Help me, please. Help me. Help me.
If you were Southside.
But nah, man. That's all I got. I know you hate that.
If you were Southsider.
Whatever.
And you a Cubs fan.
Whatever.
I don't know
what. Southsider.
I don't know what.
Far from that.
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. But,
what you got, man?
Yeah, so I'm winging it on Joe Johnson, man. We talked about Joe Johnson a little bit earlier in the show, man. Joe Johnson right now is he's trying to get his child support reduced, man. Man's trying to get his child support reduced. I think he has to pay $6,200 a month for child support for his kid, right? Now, a lot of y'all who don't make $200 million a year or who have ever made $200 million in your life would look at $6,200 a month for child support and be like, damn, that's excessive as fuck. But you niggas have never made over $200 million in your life. $6,200 ain't shit to a nigga that made over $200 million. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us hope to hit the lottery, the big game, the motherfucking Mega Millions, the Powerball. We want that $200 million jackpot. This nigga has hit that bitch twice, my nigga. He robbed the NBA. We was sitting up here talking about, yo, of all the overpaid players in the NBA, Joe Johnson was one of them. Joe Johnson was one of them. As you got your face turned up, Joe Johnson was one of them. This man walked away from the league with over $200 million in earnings, and now he's claiming he can't afford $6,200 a month in child support. And to all you niggas who say it don't cost you $6,200 a month to take care of a kid, hey, it costs you $6,200 a month to take care of a kid when your daddy is worth $200 million. That's what that is. When your daddy like, yo, my daddy got all these millions. I can't get a few thousand. That's only like $72,000 a year, dog. You made $200 million. You can't get your kid $72,000? Come on, bro. Come on, man. No sympathies over here, bro. No sympathies over here. Pay the kid, man. He ain't asked to be here. You his daddy. Pay the kid. That's what I'm winging it on. Pay your motherfucking bills, goddammit. So, yeah, it's almost time for us to get on up out of here. But before we go, let me remind you guys, because I didn't even do this at the beginning of the show. That's how rusty a nigga is. Let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit us up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. And when you watch the show live next time, you can call in and chop it up with your boys right here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, right? Also, email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails. Of course, we will read those emails here live on the show and respond in kind. You can also check us out on Twitter. My name is Mr_Span. The homeboy Cliff is DJ Neff2 on these Twitter streets. And Walt is Walt Lockdown on these Twitter streets, man. I don't know what the fuck happened to Walt, but yeah, Walt Lockdown on these Twitter streets, man. Go ahead and follow us on the Twitter streets, man. Real talk. Also, man, hit us up on the website. Visit the website at www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can leave comments there. You can vote in polls. You can, like, donate money to the show. As a matter of fact, we got a $50 donation to the show from the homeboy J Mudd, man. J Mudd put down on the Beer and Chicken and the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Yeah, man. $50 donation, man. Real talk. He looked out. He looked out. And so, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like, yo, shout out to J Mudd and donation, man. But you too can donate as often as you like, as much as you like here at the Span Report Podcast Network and the Beer Chicken Podcast. And we appreciate every dollar as much as you like, as often as you like. You can hook us up that way. Real talk. And leave us a review on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. You know what I'm saying? Leave those 5-star reviews, preferably. If you leave us less than 5 stars, you're kind of a hater, right? So we're not gonna read those on the show. But those 5-star reviews on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, those are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. It helps the show grow. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to let everybody know you're rocking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. But it is time for us to get the hell on up out of here. And we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.
Holla back.